We saw Courtney play a little inside in this past game. Is that something to look for moving forward, or is it something maybe just for now as you, you know, tweak the defense moving forward?
You saw him in there when we were in sub. You didn't see him in there when we were in regular defense. So he was still an outside backer. That's always something in sub. All those guys have kind of learned to play inside, outside, trying to put best guys on the field based on the situation like we talked about before, seeing where we can maybe put guys and utilize them the best. So it was more of a sub thing than it was anything in regular defense.
He's got a skill set that he can do both, though. You feel comfortable with that?
Most backers do. You know, this is not really something new. I mean, there's other teams that do it. I've done it in the past a lot. I've played defense, played a Super Bowl one year with five linebackers in the game and four DBs the entire game. So, you know, you just try to put them in a spot. You're not going to try to put them in there where there's going to be a lot of power football and stuff like that. But if you can figure out the situations and maybe they're based on their personnel, how to match up best, yeah. You know, a lot of guys could do it.
Dean, John, Coach Harbaugh addressed you being upstairs for the game and said it was your idea. Can you talk a little bit about what went into that decision and why you wanted to give that a try?
Well, I've done both. This isn't something that, I'm going to try this. I probably, as a coordinator in 25 years, have spent 12 years in the box and 13 down or something. I don't know. It's not something that was new to me. What I felt was, after the bye week, just felt like there's some information sometimes that I maybe could utilize a little quicker in making adjustments and making some calls. You can obviously see the game better from the press box. The other thing is sometimes it actually speeds up some of the calls, because, for example, if you're standing on the sideline and they run the ball, I can't really tell if they gain 2 or 4 or 5 yards, really, until somebody upstairs tells me that, which that means there's a little delay. Well, when I'm in the press box and I see the run and it's gained 2 yards, it's 2nd and 8. I mean, I know right now on my calls, a lot of times it's based on down and distance and all that kind of stuff. You can see things. Sometimes I can't tell if the ball's on the hash or in the middle of the field exactly. And so that speeds things up a little bit. And then the other thing is you can maybe see some technique things that you can't see on the sideline if the play's away from you. You can usually see if there's a breakdown if it's a play to you. But on a play away, sometimes you can't always see it. And the thing of it is I can't ask right away because I'm on to the next call. Whereas if you go upstairs, sometimes you can see that. I can at least keep it in my mind. I saw it, and I can make a note in between series, and I can relay it down to the coaches. The downside of it is that you don't have quite the one-on-one rapport with the players on the sideline talking to them coming off the field. But if you notice, what we did was the entire staff was down. I was the only one up. So I felt like every position was covered, different than a lot of times you might have half the staff up and half the staff down. Really, Coach Martindale was down there for the inside backers. Coach Monachino was down there for the outside backers. CB was down there for the D-line. And TA was down there for the secondary. So the entire staff was down there. And I have communication with all four of them so I could pass along information to the entire group or to any specific group and get it taken care of right away. So we thought, hey, let's take a look at it. Like I say, I've done it before, so it wasn't a big deal going to the press box necessarily for me. And we really, the staff, we thought it worked out pretty well.
Dean, speaking of that communication aspect, Jamil's been wearing the headset for a couple games now. How do you think that transition is going for him?
It's going real well. I think he's worn it before now. In preseason, he's worn it. You know, in preseason, you know, you don't have to have one. You can have more than – you can have multiple headsets because you're practicing. That's what preseason's for. So most of the time in the preseason, even if Ray was in there, he had the headset too. And then when Ray came out, Jamil usually stayed a little bit longer, and he had the headset. So that's been going fine.
Dean, we're talking a lot about versatility today, your own and some of the players. I remember when Jamil first got here, he played some outside and some inside. What's the tip-off as to whether a guy can play more than one spot?
Well, does he have the athletic skills to do it? You know, I'll go back to an old coach telling me, one, first of all, you know, does a guy have the size and the speed and the skills to play a position? That's the first thing you always look at any, whether it's offense or defense. Can a guy physically have the tools to do it? So that's number one thing you got to look at. And then second of all, does he have the knowledge? Is it going to be too much if you start moving him around, which it is for some guys. Sometimes you move guys around, they play multiple positions. It's too much for certain guys. And that doesn't mean they're not really good football players. They just can't really switch around. You know, it's like Double J coming here, defensive lineman in college, going to linebacker. I can name 100 of guys that have been like that, you know, that just they end up playing a different position. But then the other part of that is at some point in time you got to try to experiment and see if they can do it. You know, you may think they can do it, but that doesn't mean they can. Then you experiment, you try it, and then if it works, great. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. Just like Albert McClellan, we've tried him at both. Mac can really probably play both. There's different guys that can do it.
When you look at the Raiders, they're known for drafting kind of really good athletes and speed merchants.
Fast.
You're right, yeah. Do you see that when you look at this team?
Oh, yeah. They're fast. I wrote down at the bottom of the board this morning, I said, do not underestimate anybody's speed. When you play the Raiders, they are going to look good getting off the bus, and they're going to be fast getting off the bus. So they are always a fast football team. They've always been that way. And they're continuing to be that way. They are a very fast football team.
Dean Carson Palmer now, 32, 33 years old. What do you see in him? Is he the same player he was 4 or 5 years ago? Is his strengths at this point in his career?
Yeah, I think he is. Because I actually, you know, we don't have a lot of background watching the Raiders a whole lot. And it seems like even in crossover films, we don't really get them for whatever reason a whole lot. So, you know, when I was going to look at it, when I first thought about it this week, when I started looking at them, I thought, okay, I'll probably see a quarterback that's maybe diminished a little bit. I don't see it. I mean, I saw the guy throw, 15-yard comeback from the opposite hash, which he's done before. He stands in the pocket. He stands tall. He delivers the ball. And I don't see a lot of difference in Carson Palmer now than when we used to play him.
Dean, your thoughts on the run-stop defense in this game versus the other games early in the year, and Kerry Williams getting his number 4 pick and then Ed getting number 60?
Talking about back on the Browns, you talking about the pass? We were better against the run except for really two plays. And the one really bothered me because we had him stop for a no gain. It was his longest gain of the day. It was, I think, 17 or 19-yarder where he bounced out. And we got it stopped for absolutely nothing. We just weren't patient on the edge. We jumped off a block inside, and he bounced out. And when he does that, you know, that's a bad guy. And I think we missed a tackle, which gained 5 more. So up until that point, it was pretty good. And then we had one kind of a technique error inside. But overall, I thought we played better. Not good enough, but better than we had played. It was great seeing, you know, Kerry get a pick. Especially, it was nice having it right after we just dropped a pick the play before. So it was good. And I give Kerry a lot of credit on that because that was a boot one-way throwback pass over the other way, and he stayed at home, and it paid off. Guy made not a great throw, I might add, but at the same time, we were there to make the play, which was very good. What was the third one?
Ed, get me the 60th.
I mean, what can you say about the guy? Scares you to death and then goes and makes a play. So he's, the thing about it, somebody asked me about it, you know, on the play, and that'll be the first to tell you, they probably wasn't in the best position on that pass route. But the thing about him, which makes him special, is when he knew that he was out of position, like some guys, especially young guys, will just kind of turn and look back at the quarterback and just watch the ball get completed. And the thing about him was he knew he was not – as soon as he saw the quarterback look that way, he knew. He turned, and if you watch him, there was no looking back. It was turn and sprint to where he needed to be. Then the ball was underthrown, and he made a play. But even had it not been underthrown, at least he could have made the tackle, where other guys, that would have been a 6. So, to me, that's what tells you about Ed. He's an experienced guy that can go make plays. Period. I mean, it's –
Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah.
If you talked a little bit the run defense, do you feel like it's getting better? And what is there a certain element of the run defense that's stopping you from being the group that you want to be?
Well, we just got to keep working on technique. I think the whole thing all year has been our technique, basically with the front 7, not any one guy in particular, not any one group in particular, all of them. And The one game, the Dallas game, was a lot of missed tackles was the number one problem. But just all year, just keep working on technique and getting better with our hands and feet and steps and all the little things that make you a good run defense. It's not about calling blitzes at the right time and pressures. Hey, they'll all work and they'll all not work, but you got to make them work, and that's all by technique. And it's just doing it over and over and over and over again, and that's what we got to keep working on. And we've gotten better, but we're not where we need to be.
On a performance level, what's different about the defense in the red zone? Is it just a shorter field back against the wall that they come out and perform in the red zone?
No, I think, you know, a little bit sometimes can be mindset, but I think the other thing is that, let's be honest, when the offense gets down there, things condense. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you don't have the same wide open field in some of the routes and stuff like that. And I think that along with, I think when you have confidence in anything you do, it's kind of like third down teams. There's good third down defenses, and I think they just think they're pretty good on third down, and they end up being good on third down. I think a lot of times it's a confidence level. But the other part of it is, hey, in all honesty, the field shrinks on the offense, and so you can defend things a little differently.
All right.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.